Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out tonight to the home group meeting. Amen. Before I get going, I would just like to thank everybody for coming out tonight. And also everybody that emails me, and thanks me for the teaching that's out on our website, because this goes out on our website. And people from around the world, they listen to it and they email me and they give me how much they enjoy it. And some tell me mistakes that I have made, and I like both comments. Amen. I like both comments. It's, everyone doesn't know everything, and if you think you know everything, then you don't know anything at all. And it's always good to get those negative comments, and not negative, but other comments and positive comments. So far this year, we have reached almost 90,000 hits for Beholding His Glory this year. And yeah, we're just, you know, so far ahead of where we were last year, and it's just an honor, and I have to thank everybody that listens. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into what the Lord would have for us tonight. And as we do, we're going to go ahead and we're going to recap a little bit of what we talked about last month to get us going into this month. So in June of last month, there were 3 points that I would like to briefly, just go ahead and just highlight, and then we'll go into what we have for tonight. So that first point is very, very important, is judgment comes before victory. Everybody wants victory, but actually the Bible says that judgment comes before victory. In other words, if we do not, or if we have not allowed God to bring us into a place to where we're able to judge situations, then we'll never be able to have the victory that God wants, because oftentimes if we lack judgment in areas in our life, then we will make bad choices. We will not make the right choice that God is looking for, and there'll be no victory in our life. Matthew 12:20 talks about that and says, you know, a broken a reed I will not break, a burning flask I will not snuff out, until judgment unto victory. Unto victory. And so that tells us order is very, very important, that judgment always comes before victory. Because if we don't make the right choices in our life, then we'll never, ever be able to come into the victory that God has for us. That's one thing the children of Israel never really understood. They never made the right choices. They never really judged the situations in their life. And they never came into the victory that God had for them. When they left in Goshen, there was, they say, between 3.5 and 4 million Jews left Goshen during the Exodus. And of that generation that left, only two, Joshua and Caleb, made it into the Promised Land. It took them 40 years to go 11 days. And they did those 40 years because they made the wrong choices. They did not have that ability in them to be judges and judge situations. It's a very, very important point. Amen. And the next point that we looked at last month is God's work in our lives is not to eliminate outward reasons for an inner disturbance. Amen. God's work in our life is not to eliminate those outer situations and those circumstances and those things we call bad in our life. That's not what He wants. But God's work in our life is to eliminate the inner disturbance in our life. So God is not trying to take care of all these outward situations in our life. No, no, no. He's more concerned about taking care of those inner situations, those inner disturbances in us. Paul said that I may be strengthened with might in the inward man. God is concerned about strengthening us inwardly and not taking care of and lining up all of our situations and making sure everything is wonderful. God's not really too concerned about that, but He's really concerned about strengthening us with might in the inward man and taking care of those inward disturbances that we have. And the last point is a very, very important point. And that comes from 2 Corinthians 3:18, is that we'll be able to be changed into the glory, only the glory that we can behold. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we are changed from glory to glory. And that's God's intention for our life. God's intention for our life is to not leave us at this level or this state of glory. He wants to bring us up to the next level, up to the next level of glory. But we can only be changed into that next level of glory according to the glory that we can behold. We cannot behold all of God's glory. Moses tried that. And actually, Moses in Exodus wanted to see God's glory. But Moses was not ready to see God's glory. God said, I'll only show you my goodness as I walk by. And so the point is, we can only be changed into the next level of that glory if we have that spiritual maturity to behold that glory. We cannot handle the things of God unless we've been developed to that level to where we'll be able to handle them. A lot of people think they can, but they can't. Amen? Three very, very important points. So today, we will look at wilderness truths from modern times, number 13, and we'll look at Exodus 15:27. Very, very good verse. It says, and they came to Elim, which there were 12 wells of water. Wow, 12 wells of water. Boy, isn't that nice. And 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters, Exodus 15:23. So what we'll look at tonight is God's provision in the wilderness. Now that's a very, very important point that as we, you know, have been talking over the years, that we are talking about the wilderness not being this dark, barren place, but it is a dark, barren place. It's very uncomfortable to our flesh, but it's a place of learning. It's a place where we get to know God. It's a place where God gets to know us. It's a place where God can work in our life and bring things, his dealings and judgments in our life so that we can grow spiritually. As we saw last night, it's not about God taking care of all these outward situations. God wants to take care of our inner disturbances. That way, and then we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wilderness situations here seem to be far behind. You know, the crossing of the Red Sea and the bitter water and all of that stuff. All of that stuff seems to be far behind when the children went into Elim. Because, wow, there was 70 palm trees. 70 palm trees and 12 wells of water. What a wonderful place. When you've been in the desert and there's nothing to drink, now there's 12 wells of water. Been in the desert and there's nothing really to eat, but now there's 70 palm trees to eat from. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. God is good at setting us into, God is good at setting us up, not for failure, but to see if we have learned something. So now here they have the children of Israel, they're in the wilderness, and now they're in Elim, where this wonderful, this feast and this water is. And you would think that God was setting them up. But God was not setting them up. He was bringing things into their life, not to see if they could fail, but to see if they learned anything. And that's what God was doing to the children of Israel right here. There were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. This is a good and a pleasant place to camp. But they are still in the wilderness. Amen? They were still in the wilderness. But at this time in the wilderness, there was a good place for them. There was water, and there was food, and there was sustenance, all the things that they needed. There, you know, this oasis was in the wilderness. It is not a total waste and totally deprived of provision. The wilderness in our life is not, and I repeat, is not a totally waste and totally deprived of provision. If it was so, then no one would ever make it through the wilderness. In God, there are times of rest and refreshing. In times in our life when there's difficult things that we go through, there are times that God will bring us into rest and refreshing. That is a very, very important point. Because if not, then we would be struggle and struggle and struggle, and we would never be able to see victory. There's times when we go through very difficult areas in our life. We go through things that God has brought into our life so that we could grow, and you know, we could grow spiritually. He will bring a time of refreshing. And that is what God was doing with the children of Israel here. They just took them through the Red Sea. They're in the wilderness of Shur, and they're going through some very difficult things. But now, they're going to be going somewhere else, but now God is bringing them into a time of refreshing. Amen. There is much happened in the wilderness. True, we have the bitter water, but we also have the trees that are sweet. True, we have waterless stretches, but we also have an oasis. True, we have a very rough path, but we also have the opportunity to develop hind feet. Psalms 18:31 and 34. It is God that girdeth me with strength, and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon the high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that the bow of the steel was broken by my arms. I'm sorry. Having a tough time reading tonight. Amen. That word hinds' feet there means sure placement. It means sure placement. It's nice to know God will not set us upon high places until He is able to give us hinds' feet. And what this is referring to, hinds' feet, is the feet of a goat. And if you've ever seen a goat up on the mountain, they have special feet, the way that their feet have been developed, that they could stand on just on a little small ledge and just stand there, and they're called hinds' feet. And that's the same thing with God. It's nice to know that God will not set us up in some very difficult areas and put us in some places unless He is able to develop some spiritual things in our life. As with the children of Israel, He's just not going to make them just go through the desert without giving them a place, with some food and some water. Amen? Amen. This oasis becomes a refreshing station for the children of Israel. There is an Old Testament word, Nahas, Strong's, number 5095, used as 10 times and translated with different words. It is found in Psalms 23:2. He leadeth me beside the still waters. It means to bring from one station to the other. The purpose of this particular kind of God's leading is to be refreshed. So when we're reading Psalm 23, the thought that David is trying to convey is a time of refreshing, to be rest and to be nourished. God always provides refreshing before the next trial. Now I'm going to say that again, because that's very important. God always provides a time of refreshing before the next trial. And we can see that if the children of Israel, as they moved from one wilderness to the next, before they moved into another wilderness, there was a time of refreshing. So, in our life, how does that impact in our life? Well, if we are going through a time of refreshing, where God is just working in us, and good things are going, and everything is just moving forward, and you're in that time of refreshing, guess what? You may be leaving that time of refreshing and going out into a time that's not so refreshing. And so God is building in you His character, and He's building you this ability in you to endure, that time of refreshing. Every time I think of the 23rd Psalm, I always think of my first time that I went to Mauritania, the Islamic Republic of the Mauritania, which is in West Africa. So it was really nice. One morning, it was about 9:30, I decided to go for a walk in the desert. And I said, wow, it's just beautiful. The sun wasn't up yet, and the birds were singing, and I thought I would just go for a walk. So I just went out in the desert, and so I walked about an hour and a half. And the next thing I knew, the sun was up, and it was getting hot. And I didn't have any water, and I started to sweat. Then all of a sudden, I stopped sweating, and that's not a good sign. If you're sweating a lot, and then suddenly you stop, that's not a good sign. And I decided I had to get back. I had to get back to my oasis. I had to get back to where I was staying. And so suddenly, I just turned around, and as I started walking back, I just, it seemed like I had no energy, and I had no strength. And, I was getting really concerned because I walked an hour and a half out, thank you, sweetheart, and I had to get back, and I didn't have any energy to get back. And I was afraid that I was going to die in the desert from exposure. Then all of a sudden the Lord dropped the 23rd Psalm into my heart. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He brings me, what does it say right there? What does it say? It said it is to bring from one station to another station. to bring from one station to another station. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now here, I was dying because I didn't have any water. And all of a sudden the Lord dropped the 23rd Psalm in there to refresh me, and I started walking. And as I was walking, I was saying, He leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. You know, the Bible says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, I was leading, I was living by every word that proceeded out of my mouth as long as I was saying, He leadeth me. And as I was walking, you know, I kept saying, He leadeth me, He leadeth me. And I got faster, and I got faster, and I got stronger. And I actually came in to my oasis, into that watering hole, by the Word of God. He strengthened me. I didn't have any water, but He strengthened me enough. He girded me up and gave me the ability to make it in. If not, I would have died in the Islamic Republic of the Mauritania because it was hot. When that sun got up, I mean, it was... And, you know, I never forget that. So when I read, He leadeth me, boy, that just sticks into my... That just sticks to my spirit because that's very, very important. Amen. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, this is John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. John 14:2. Now, mansion is translated from the old Roman word mansions. Mansions. It's actually the only Italian word in the Bible, in the Latin Vulgar Bible, the 4th century. These mansions is the Roman... The Roman empires were inns along the road in which where one could find rest, could find food and other services and supplies. These mansions was like an oasis. It was just a place where you could stop and you could get, you know, you could get food, you could get rest, you know. And these are places in the old Roman Empire. And God has these mansions. I'm not so sure if we're going to have mansions. I don't know what a spiritual body is going to need with a mansion. And you know, mansions, they require a lot of work and all that good stuff. You know, I'm not too sure about all that. But I know that when I go to heaven, my mansion will be Him. And that's good enough for me. But anyways, yeah, these mansions... You know, these were places along the way that you could go ahead and you could stop and you could rest as the oasis was in Elam. Amen. This is our journey. This is our journey. God has provided the stations that we need. Yes, in our journey, God has provided stations and things that we need. There are many mansions. And God does not put one gas station here and the next gas station 500 kilometers down the road. You know, that when our car will only go on 400 kilometers on its maximum gas supply. God is wise enough to properly space the oasis in our wildernesses. God is always, always giving us those things that we need to make it from this watering hole to this watering hole. God is always giving us whatever we need to make it through this trial and this tribulation and this difficult area and this difficult area. God is always providing and giving us everything that we need to get us from point A to point B. God knows what's best for our lives. He knows what we need. He knows what, you know, He knows what we need, and we must always come to believe this. There are many Christians do not know this point right here. Many Christians do not believe that God knows what we need and He's not going to provide, you know, what we need. But I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you that God knows what's best for us, and He knows what we need. Not what we think we need, but He knows what we need, and He always wants to give that. God always provides whatsoever we need to make it. When we need it, where we need it, and how we need it. That day I was walking, God knew what I needed. I didn't need water. I did not need water. If I needed water, then He would have given me some water somehow. I didn't need water. I needed that word that He spoke to me. That's all I needed. I didn't need water. I didn't need a cloud to come up or any of that stuff. All I needed was for Him to speak a word to me and drop into my spirit. And that's what I needed to get in. Isn't that amazing? Well, God should give you a little canteen of water, but I didn't need a canteen of water. It's not what I needed. I needed God to speak a word to my spirit and for me to hear it. That's what I needed to get in. Wow.
Amen.
At our oasis, we are refreshed and nourished. Wow. As you go through difficult areas in your life, as I said, there's going to be times that you're going to come up and you're going to be refreshed and nourished so that you can continue on and go on to that next area, to that next trial, whatever God has for your life. So drink deeply. Eat heartily. Because we have many weary miles to go to travel before the next watering hole. We are on a journey. We are on our way back to the promised land. Now the children of Israel were always going to the promised land. And everyone I talk to, they want to go to the promised land. Well, if you look at the Bible, the promised land wasn't what we think it was in the Bible. It's kind of interesting that the promised land was not a land of peace and calmness and tranquility. The promised land was not a land where there was, you know, a lot of palm trees and there was a lot of figs to eat. Oh no. Oh no. The promised land was something much, much different. In the wilderness, the Israelis moved for 40 years. In those 40 years, they encountered in battle about a half dozen or six kings with their armies. And 1 year in the promised land, Joshua subdued 31 kings. Now, we're in the promised land. I'm going to the promised land. Well, for the children of Israel, when they made it into the promised land, they had to fight and defeat 31 kings to maintain that. The wilderness is not the place of battle. It is only the training ground. The wilderness is not the place of battle. It is the training ground. So in our life, we have to learn those lessons. In the wilderness, we have to learn those lessons. We have to learn how God operates and how He functions. The wilderness, the way we learn things and we understand how God functions and operates. And I would even go a little farther. In the wilderness in our life, as we learn how God operates and function, it's not for this life as much as for our next life to come. Because if we can learn how God functions and operates now, if we can have that relationship with Him and flow with Him, you know, touch people and operate like God, when we get into our next life, we won't have to be trained. We'll just automatically know how He moves and how He functions, and we'll go with that. The same thing here. The children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, God was teaching them how to fight. God was teaching them how to move. And the wilderness is not the place of battle. Oh, no, no, no. It was only the training grounds. Manna, which means what is it, is the training diet. Manna is not a diet to battle. We must learn the lessons of the wilderness to be successful in the promised land. If we do not learn the lessons that God is trying to teach us in this life here, I'm not sure. Of course, I've never been into the promised land. I've never been to heaven. But I believe we have to learn these lessons on earth down here so that we will be useful to God in our next life to come. Because when we go to heaven, we're not going to just keep, you know, playing a harp and a crown and doing all of this stuff. Oh, no, no, no. The Bible I read says that we're coming back to earth. We're coming back to earth, and we're going to work. It's not living in heaven forever and ever and ever. That's not the Bible I read. The Bible I read says that we're going to come down and we're going to inhabit the earth again. It's going to be heaven on earth. Wow. And so I believe it's very important in this life here that we learn how to function and operate and learn how God operates and functions. So in our next life, we'll be able to be successful in that. Amen?
Amen.
We must learn those lessons. After the wilderness, after the training, the manna ceased, the diet switched to meat, the Word of God. And the children of Israel, right before the children of Israel, they left the wilderness and crossed the Jordan River. And by the way, they crossed the Jordan River the same way, or they left the wilderness the same way they got into the wilderness. Moses opened up the Red Sea, right? Actually, God opened up the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry ground. They got out of the wilderness the same way. Joshua opened up the Red Sea, or God opened up the Red Sea through Joshua, and they got out the same way. Isn't that amazing? Wow. But anyways, manna, what is it? There was no meat involved. Joshua 1:11 says, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you viscous, for which 3 days you shall pass over into the Jordan, and to go into a possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." Now notice that God already gave this land to them. God already gave this land to them, but they had to fight and kill at least 31 kings in the promised land. The promised land is not a land where you go ahead and you rest. The promised land is where you battle. Wow. And the children of Israel, in the wilderness they learned how to battle in the promised land. Venison in the Hebrew and applies of the flesh of any animal used for food. But we cannot go to war on manna. We must go on in a fighting diet. All provisions and diet in the wilderness in preparation for the time when we'll gear up for battle and for possessions. We must have the right diet to sustain us when in battle. And that's one of the key things with the military. You got to have the right food to eat. You cannot fight if you don't have the right food. And it's very, very important. Even in our spiritual walk, we must have the right food. And the right food is found in the Word of God. As we read the Bible, the right food is God speaking to us, and that is the Word of God, the Bible, and a word from God. Romans 10:17 says, "The faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That's Romans 10:17. The Greek version of Romans 10:17, I think, is a lot more accurate, and that is, "Faith cometh by hearing a word from God." So, King James, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Because I know I go to churches and I speak, and I'm speaking the Word of God, and people listen to me when I speak often, and they get no faith. So it's not about hearing the Word of God being spoken. It's about hearing from God. Faith cometh by hearing a word from God. When I was in the desert in Mauritania, I heard God speak to me. I got faith. Faith, in, this came into my body, and then I was able to move. And so that diet that I needed then was to hear God speak. Was that faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Some parting thoughts. In our walk with the Lord, He will prepare us for great things. Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
In your walk with God, He will prepare us for great things. He will prepare us. We don't prepare ourselves. We can't prepare ourselves. God must be the one that prepares us for great things. Wow, that's a tremendous point there. And so do not ever disagree with Him, no matter where He leads us. We must never ever complain. We must never ever bellyache. We must never ever disagree with God. Well, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that, or I don't want to go through this, or I don't want to go through that. No, no, no. We must allow Him to prepare us. Watch out for bitter water. That was one of the lessons the children of Israel was learning in the wilderness of Sur, was that bitter water. And notice, it wasn't that the water was bitter. It was the people were bitter. They were bitter, and they could not drink. Then God had to change their heart, and God had to change their character so that they could drink. Be careful when we encounter dryness. Wow, in those times that we're moving and we're tired and we just don't want to put up with people or whatever. In those times that we just don't feel close to God. Have you ever been there when you just don't feel like you're close to God?
Amen.
I have been there. I have. I went through a 3-year period in my life when God began to work in my life that I never felt the presence of God. Never. For 3 years, maybe even over 3 years, I never felt His presence. I went to church. I did all the church activities, paid my tithes. I did all that stuff. But I never, ever felt the presence of God, And I wouldn't take that time back for all the tea in China. Because during that 3-year period, God was working in my life, and He was building a trust in me that I would have had, you know, that I have to have when I go out and I travel, when I go to Ethiopia, or, you know, like we'll be headed to Romania and Bulgaria in November, and then your brother Darrell and I, and you know, maybe some others will be headed to India, you know. You know, that happens not by faith, because the spiritual order is faith, trust, rest. And if you only operate on faith, which you need to please God, yes, but faith will only carry you so far, then you've got to come into this trust, this place of trust. And God was building that trust in me that no matter if God would slay me, yet I would trust Him. If I perish, I perish. And that is a lot different than a level of faith. But we must allow God to, you know, and watch out when we get in these dry times, and you know, we just go, oh, God is not there. We just got to push through that and just keep on plodding, you know, plodding on as a soldier and just keep moving through. If we discover we have a complaining heart, surrender it. Ooh, surrender it for repairs. Wow. Complaining heart is not, show them the visual. Constantly, the 40 years they're in the wilderness, they constantly complain. Walk softly and tenderly before the Lord in the wilderness. Remember, the wilderness is the place where we learn to be like God. The wilderness is the place where God can work in our life and make us, into Him. Bitter times can make us bitter and give us a complaining heart. Bitter times, and sometimes as we do the things that God wants us to do, they can be bitter. They can be very, very bitter, and they can make us bitter. But we don't need that. You know, you don't need that bitter heart. You just need to keep moving forward and just allowing God just to work in our life. We must be sensitive to God in His teaching and His lessons in our life. It is critical that we are sensitive to what God is doing in our life. One thing we should treasure more than our home, more than our family, you know, we should treasure the things that God is doing in us. Because the things that God is doing in us is the only thing that we will leave this world with. And when my mom died on the 5th of June, it was just amazing that, we left Ethiopia on the 3rd, the 4th we arrived, and my mom died on the 5th. And, you know, it was just kind of like, wow. And then, of course, the funeral and all of that good stuff. And after we buried her and stuff like that, we went back to the house and we started, as the kids all together, we started getting this and getting that and this picture and that picture and stuff like that. And, you know, it just kind of really dawned on me that we're not leaving this earth with anything. You know, I'm not taking this house or my favorite picture or my car. All of that's staying here, you know. But the only thing that I can take with me when I leave this world is the things that God has put into my life. Amen. Those eternal things. That's the only thing that I'm going to take. That is, to me, you know, some of the most precious things of my life. I love my wife very much. I would give my wife both kidneys. That way, I would give my life for her. But you know what? The things, you know, God and the things that He's doing in my life has to be more precious. Has to be more precious. Amen. Yeah. Need to really be sensitive to that. Amen. We are in the wilderness for specific purposes, and we must be concerned about the purposes. More concerned about the purposes that God is doing in our life than in the wilderness. We should not be so concerned about all the difficult things that we go through and, oh my gosh, it's terrible, and look at me, I'm going to go eat worms, and woe is me, and all that stuff. No, no, no. We shouldn't be so concerned about that. You know, we should be concerned about the work that God is doing in our life. God will take care of us. And we've got to believe that. I know it sounds strange, but I know many Christians that don't believe God will take care of them. We've got to believe that God will take care of us. I mean, no matter what. I mean, no matter what happens in the world, no matter if the federal government, defuncts, or no matter,
And no matter what happens, you know, we must come to believe that God will take care of us. You know, I mean, whatever happens, we must cast our care upon the Lord, the one who cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your cares of, you know, your care. Now, when that verse is often, when it's translated, it's often translated cares. People like to put an S on there. Cast your cares on the Lord because He cares for you. But actually, it's care. And it has to be care. Because cares are things. Cares are things. So we don't want to cast our need for things on the Lord. That's not what Peter's saying there. He's not saying, oh Lord, now, Lord, you see that lottery ticket that I just got? And you know the lottery is $80 million now. And Lord, if you would just bless me and I could win that lottery, then I'll give you 20, I mean, you know, or Lord, you see my BMW. There's an old BMW. And Lord, you know that, you know, we need a new BMW. You know. Okay, a Mercedes, you know, but no Ford. But, yeah, I mean, you know, but a new house or a job or whatever. You know, these are things. Peter's not saying cast your need for things on the Lord. Peter was saying cast your care upon the Lord. It's an adjective. The word care is an adjective. It's an attitude. We are to cast our desire for things, that desire to have these things, on the Lord. Because He cares for us. So we don't need to ask Him for everything. Well, I need this and I need that. He knows what we need. And we really need to believe that, you know. And we need to believe He's going to take care of us, you know. So we have to cast that attitude, oh Lord, I need this and I need that, I need that, on the Lord. And here, you know, if He'll work in our life and take that out of us so that we won't have that, Lord, I need this, and, you know, the gimme, gimme, gimmes. No. Lord, you know what's best for me, and you always give me what I need. And Lord, that's where that is. Amen. Okay. Even in the wilderness, His love and care is ever with us. Wow. Even when He's working in our life. And I will tell you, sometimes when God was working in my life, I thought He was killing me. He has, you know, people say, a lot of Christians say, the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear. I will tell you, that's not true. I will tell you. I know the Lord has allowed fear into my life to get my attention, to turn me around. Wow, wow, wow. And sometimes God has, you know, I won't even say now, sometimes God will do things to get my attention. He does that all because He loves us. But in His manifestation in the wilderness, we see and we know Him in a way that cannot be accomplished in any other place. God will work in our life and bring us into areas and grow us in Him that cannot be accomplished in any other place except in the wilderness. God could not teach the children of Israel the things that they needed. The second generation were the ones that went into the promised land and fought and subdued 31 kings, right? Only Joshua and Caleb made it in. But it was in the wilderness was the only place that God could take care of these stiff-necked Jewish people and teach them the things that they needed to be able to be successful in the promised land. Amen. So God has the wilderness picked out just for us. The longer we go with God, the tougher it gets. Wow. Oh, I'm going to let that sink in for a second. The longer we go with God, the tougher it gets. And it's the same way, you know, when we raise children. As we raise children, and we expect them to understand us and listen to us, right? And when they're 1 or 2 years old, we got to, you know, show them and teach them and show them and teach them and show them and teach them. And then as they get older, we don't have to show them and teach them so much. Because we expect that they've learned that lesson already, right? And when they get 18, we don't have to teach them and show them and do the same things that we did when they were 1 year old. And so it gets tougher because we don't have mom and dad there, you know, telling the kids what to do. And I'm there and I'm going to pat you on the back and I'm always there for you. As we go spiritually in God, He's going to teach us lessons. He's going to expect us to do things.
He's not going to be there telling us what to do and pat us on the back and do all of these things. So it's going to be tougher. We're not going to have God there to go, there, David. Oh, are you okay? Oh, I'm sorry. That was a tough lesson for you. What? Oh, poor David. God's not going to do that. Because He's worked in our life. And He's expecting us to mature and grow in spiritual, you know, some type of spiritual development. Just like our kids. At 19 or 20, we wouldn't go, oh, there, and just, you know. No. We expect them to be mature and work. The longer we go in God, the tougher it gets. And that is, that's the way that God has purposed and planned that. So learn well in the wilderness. There are lessons taught there which are taught nowhere else. Do not seek to learn that which He is not teaching, but concentrate upon that which He is showing us, and learn it well. It will pay big dividends tomorrow. If you do not learn the things that God is trying to teach us now, well, you're going to see those lessons again. It's just the way that is. If you don't learn what God is teaching you now, then, you know, He's going to keep bringing you around the mountain, and He did with the children of Israel. He kept bringing them around and teaching them again and again and again. And the ones that didn't get it, they died. The ones that got it, they went into the promised land of the second generation. Rest in Him, relax in faith, and let Him do the work in you in the wilderness. Because lift up your eyes to the heavens. The wilderness of sin lay ahead before us. Exodus 16:1, and they took their journey from Edom, and all of the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Edom and Sinai. Sinai is the place you want to go. Sinai, the wilderness of Sinai, and that is after the wilderness of Sin, is glory. That's what Sinai means, glory. So anyways, which is before Edom and Sinai, on the 14th day of the second month after the departure out of the land of Egypt. So the children of Israel, believe it or not, have not been out of Goshen for that for that long of a period. They left Goshen, they went through the Red Sea, and now we just went through Shur. So now what I'm going to do, God always gives us rest before we march on to something tougher in our lives. That's a very important point. God always gives us rest. He always gives us a break, and He always gives us a time of refreshing before we go on to something next. And so if you're in that period of refreshing and everything is just going good, you know, rest. Drink the water. Eat the fruit. Rest. Get your energy. Push closer into God because something else is coming your way. Amen. So the wilderness is, by the way of recap here, the first wilderness we went through was the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the operative word for Red Sea was victory. Victory is what God wanted to bring into the children of Israel. Of course, we know, we talked about the whole story. And a Red Sea means come to an end, destroy, or cease. The wilderness of Shur means to be hemmed in or to shut in. And the lessons that we learned there was about bitterness. Bitterness water became sweet water. And starting back in April, there were four words that we looked at. In April, we looked at the word exposure. God has to expose us. He's got to expose areas in our life so that we could grow spiritually with Him. In May, we looked at that word awareness. We have to have this awareness of God working in our life. We have to have this understanding of God and what He's doing in us. And if we don't have that awareness, then we'll never be able to receive the things that God, we'll just be oblivious, and they're just, so we have to have that understanding of what He's going to. And last month we looked at judgment before victory. We have to have that ability within us to be able to judge situations, judge people. So, I mean, I don't care what it is. You know, we have to have that ability to judge things in our life so that we can separate ourselves from them. Because if we do not do that, then we'll not be able to make the right choices that we need to stay in God. And in July was a time of refreshing. Refreshing is always comes before something difficult in our lives. And God always brings times of refreshing into our life. And He just knows when we need it. He knows how we need it. And He's just a good God, and He loves us very much. Amen. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we just thank You and we praise You for this wonderful time, Father, Lord, this wonderful teaching, Father, Lord God. Lord, I would ask that You would just take these words, Father, Lord, as people listen over the internet, Father, Lord, and my brothers and sisters here, Father, Lord. Lord, just bless this word to their body, and Lord, we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord. Lord, let them, Father, Lord God, meditate on these and the words, Father, Lord God, in the Bible, and so that he'll be able to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, just thank You for this home group meeting and the opportunities to come and minister, Father, Lord God. And Lord, I just love You and I thank You, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.